The Jeffersons was a popular American sitcom broadcasted on CBS from 1975 to 1985. The show was based around an upper-middle-class African-American couple. They moved from the working-class section of Queens into a luxury apartment in Manhattan. The theme song portrayed before every single episode was titled, Moving On Up. The song dictates how the couple has moved up from working class to upper middle class. They had crossed an economic and racial boundary. Most black couples did not live in Manhattan in the 1970s. Hi, my name is Morgan, and I interviewed my mother, Leslie, about the same topic of moving up and crossing a boundary. She is an attorney but comes from a working class family who lived in North Philadelphia.
Academic abilities, I was always a good student. There are just things socially and culturally that you don't know. When I got my first professional job as a bank examiner, I didn't quite know how to dress professionally. I didn't know the right jewelry to wear. Thankfully, I had my best friend was my mentor and told me, you know, to take my boyfriend's heart-shaped necklace off. And it wasn't gaudy or anything, but it wasn't appropriate for work. Learning how to wear the right color stockings with my suit, learning how to eat at a properly set table. And I don't mean just the basics. My parents taught me how to eat from the inside out, but you know, I went to client lunches and lunches with the firm, and there were more settings, more things on the table than I had ever seen. So a lot of that was challenging. It was a little scary when I initially started. It's just unfamiliar territory. So in addition to learning, you know, how to dress right, you have to think about carrying yourself right and, you know, speaking properly. You speak properly, you learn that well beyond before coming to law school. But just, you know, making sure that I was always aware, trying to make sure that I did everything properly and that I fit in and that I wasn't making mistakes. And those were just things because of my parents' income and lack of exposure. They could not expose me to some of the things that I just had to learn. So that was challenging and scary. One of the funniest things, I went, one of the partners that I'd gone to the law firm and worked for, a very nice man, he sort of came from a similar background, let me know that, you know, he would show me the ropes. But we had a large client dinner, and it was at a restaurant that was popular in Philadelphia at the time called the Striped Bass. It was a 7 or 8 course meal. I had only ever had, you know, an appetizer, a dinner, an entree, and a dessert. And so I could not believe that the food kept coming. There were tons of glasses on the table, maybe 4. It was more setting, more things on the table than I had ever seen. 4 glasses, spoons all over the place. I mean, it was confusing. So that was difficult. I was like, what am I supposed to do? So my mom always taught me, you know, when you don't know what to do, look to the person who you think has the most knowledge and just copy them. So that was one story. And then the other story, when I came out of law school 15 years ago, I was earning about $70,000, which is a lot of money 15 years ago, and is not bad money today. So it was more money than I could have dreamed of making. And I remember talking to Nana, my mom, And, you know, I was like, I got my first paycheck and I opened it up and I was like, wow, Mom, my paycheck is X amount of money. And then I was like, oh my goodness, they took, you know, maybe, I don't know, $800 or $900 in taxes. And what they took from me in taxes and withholding was more money than Nana earned. So that was just like a crazy moment for both of us. I was like, oh my gosh, they took, yeah, $800 in taxes. And she was like, that's more than I make in 2 weeks or something. Like, it was definitely more than, yeah, it had to be more than she made in 2 weeks because she didn't make a lot of money. So we were just sitting on the phone like, and I was like, wow, they took in withholdings more than my mother earns. Wow, that was very sobering. It's not right. Maybe things have gotten better, but that's how I felt, and that's how a lot of my peers feel. Like, you are representing not just yourself and your own individual achievements, like you're representing the race. And that's a heavy burden to bear, so I cannot imagine. And I graduated law school in 1996. I cannot imagine if I felt that way in 1996. I cannot imagine what some of the true first blacks experienced in anything, medicine, integrating a school, integrating a college. I can't imagine. Because, you know, other people had come before me at least. But when you're really the first, the weight of that burden and responsibility has got to be tremendous. No, I think that whole self-made stuff is foolishness. I don't believe in it. I think it puts a lot of extra, gives a lot of extra credit to personal merit. I don't think that there is anyone. And I know there are people who have worked a lot and hard and overcome a lot of obstacles. But I know that I had people who helped me. So I cannot claim to be self-made anything. I did my part. I worked hard. I studied. I did what I was supposed to for the most part, when I was supposed to for the most part. But there were people in my life who assisted me. There were people who gave me chances. There were people who helped me. So when people say, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, I just think that it's very easy to say that, but I don't know anybody who really, really does that without the assistance of other people. You know, I worked for Judge Green. Judge Green gave me an opportunity. You know, I just happened to volunteer for Judge Hall. Judge Hall said, this lady does very good work. And Judge Hall then said, would you like to clerk for Judge Green? I didn't know who Judge Green was. I didn't know what a clerkship was. I had no idea that Judge Hall was recommending me for one of the most prestigious things that you could do when you graduated law school, which was clerking for a federal judge. I didn't know what clerking was. But if Judge Hall had not been so kind as to, out of the goodness of his heart, yes, I did good work for him. But I was there volunteering. He didn't know me anything. And he just said, would you like to work for my good friend Cliff? I like the work that you do. So he said it in such a way that I knew better than to say no, but I was saying yes to, I didn't even know what it was. I had to go back and say, what's a clerkship? And then I was working for a federal judge, and that opened many doors. In addition to the work that I did, in addition to the grades that I acquired, that clerkship, that one, I mean, there are only 40 judges on the federal bench in Philadelphia on the district court level. Each one of them has 2 to 3 law clerks, so that's 80 to 120 people. There are 400 people graduating from Temple University Law, 300 from University of Penn, 300 from Rutgers, 300, and that's just in Philadelphia. People fight for federal clerkships all over the country. So because someone was pleased with my work and was kind to me, I got one of those positions. I was qualified. No one lowered any standards for me. My grades qualified, my writing qualified for a federal position. But they're very competitive. They're extremely competitive. When I was working for Judge Green and had to interview people, we were hiring 2 law clerks and we got 800 applications. Mine would have simply been one more application in a pile of 800. But now today, because someone helped me and Judge Green hired me, neither of whom who had to, my resume has a very prestigious thing on it. So am I self-made? I don't think so. Certainly crossed some socioeconomic barriers. Being one of very few African-American attorneys at a major Philadelphia law firm, crossing barriers. Not barriers that haven't been crossed before, but barriers that are crossed regularly, but in very low numbers. African-American and female. Difficult being African-American professionally is difficult being female professionally. So some people think, oh, the black women get two extra pluses because when people are looking to diversify, they're going to hire, they look to diversify with women and they look to diversify with black. But also, while we may carry two supposed pluses, we also carry two negatives. You're a woman. People think, okay, she's going to have a baby. She's going to get married. And so those are some of the stereotypes that come with women. So there are sometimes institutionalized things that stop women from progressing. Well, she was single when she came and she got married. So we're not going to give her this high quality work because she's going to go on the mommy track. They're wonderful girls till they have those babies, till they get married. Oh, then they're not going to produce as much. They're going to ask for a part-time work schedule. So you have the disadvantage of being a woman or being perceived as a woman who's not going to take her job as seriously. And then you have the disadvantage of being African-American. A lot of people will say or imply that you're only there because you're African-American and because the firm has to diversify because it's the politically correct thing to do. Like my work. And he said to me one day, and it was a compliment, but he didn't understand. I'm sure he would not have understood why I sort of raised my eyebrow. You do very good work, Leslie. I'm really surprised at your analysis. Well, why are you surprised? We could have stopped that conversation with you do very good work, Leslie. Why are you surprised? And there's an implication. There's an assumption that somehow my work should be less than or not as good, or if it is good, or God forbid it's better. There's sort of like this, wow, you know, that black girl is really good, instead of she's an excellent attorney.
The Jeffersons was a popular American sitcom broadcasted on CBS from 1975 to 1985. The show was based around an upper middle class African American couple. They moved from the working class section of Queens into a luxury apartment in Manhattan. The theme song portrayed before every episode was titled Moving On Up. Everyone, even from an early age, is encouraged to do their best, and even better than their parents, until they reach the top of the social ladder. Although every time a person reaches the step in that ladder, they are crossing a social boundary. And crossing those boundaries, they have to change something about themselves. Thanks for listening.